Welcome to Possibly, where we take on huge problems like the future of our planet and break them down into small questions with unexpected answers. I'm Megan Hall. Today, we're talking about lawns. They can be beautiful and soft, but they're pretty crappy when you evaluate them on really any other measure. Lawns waste water, they leak fertilizer into lakes and rivers. I could go on and on. I know all of these things about lawns, but guess what? I still have one. That's because I'm not sure what to do instead. To find out, I drove down to Blue Moon Farm in Wakefield, Rhode Island.
Are you Jane?
Jane Case owns Blue Moon, which is a nursery for perennial plants. She's also been gardening at people's houses for more than 40 years. She's not a fan of lawns.
I certainly want to encourage people to cut back on their lawns as much as possible.
Why? Jane says lawn grass is just one type of plant. Plus, it doesn't really do much.
The only thing it does is provide a nice place for us to walk on.
What is your advice for me, someone with a limited budget who also wants places that are soft for the kids to play? What should I be doing? Jane says, I don't have to give up my lawn entirely.
Design your area with your kids in mind so that they have a place to play. That's the best use of lawn, really. Keep that part and then start slowly adding in various different plant material.
Do you want to show me some examples of the kinds of things people could plant?
Sure.
All right, cool. Jane walks over to a shady part of the nursery and points to a plant that's low to the ground and looks like a giant bowl of salad.
This is a coral bell. In the fall, when you've sort of forgotten about it, it sends up these white flowers about 2 feet above the plant that are big, thick, white.
Jane says berry plants are also great, especially blueberries, whose leaves turn red in the fall.
Of course, you get the wonderful tasting blueberries. I always cover half of it. So the birds get some and, you know, you get some.
Are there any alternatives to lawns?
There certainly are some things for small spaces.
Jane recommends something called Pennsylvania sedge. She says you only have to mow it once or twice.
It's taller than grass. It's probably 8 or 10 inches, but it has that soft, lovely look to it, and it can handle a lot of foot traffic.
Does it require the same amount of water or less? Or
no, anything is going to require a certain amount of irrigation until it gets acclimated.
But after that, everything she sells at this nursery should be able to survive on its own.
So then I wouldn't have to have a sprinkler going
like
several times a week
makes
trying to keep
crazy.
It going.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Jane says saving water with these plants is a huge bonus, but she's most concerned with creating spaces that support the insects that pollinate our food.
What would you say to someone who's like, what difference does my little yard make? I just have just a tiny house. Like, that can't make a difference.
But hook that up with your next door neighbor and their next door neighbor, and taking it up all across the country, it can make all the difference in the world.
Jane says there's a lot of focus on protecting national parks and other parts of nature, but there's also something to be said about cultivating that wildness right here where we live. That's it for today. To see a picture of Jane and some of the plants she recommended, go to thepublicsradio.org/possibly. To hear more of our episodes, subscribe to Possibly wherever you get your podcasts. Possibly is a co-production of the Institute at Brown for Environment and Society, Brown's Climate Solutions Initiative, and the Publix Radio.